prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples. Can't ever pray it enough times, can you? So let's read this together as we, you can look at it in your bulletin. You'll see the words to it in the bulletin. Right in the front cover. And Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Together, let's say this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I've enjoyed this study that we've been doing, going through the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. But I have to say that in the last week, when I was reviewing and studying and doing a little research on this phrase, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, I must confess that I got stuck. I understand the deliver us from evil concept, but lead us not into temptation? What does that mean? I don't know if you have a favorite type of tree. And most of us, if we have the opportunity, we'd like to have our favorite tree planted in our backyard or our front yard. Those of us that have older homes, we don't often get that opportunity to plant the trees that we like in our yard. In the past couple of years, I've had the privilege, our backyard is sort of a desert place, and we've been trying to plant trees and flowers and things like that. So I've had the privilege of choosing the types of trees to plant in our backyard. There's one thing for sure. There was one tree I absolutely do not want planted in my backyard or my front yard. It is my most unfavorite tree. It's called the fruitless mulberry. Why are you laughing? The fruitless mulberry many, many years ago became my enemy. We rented a home in Central California, and the owners of that home had four fruitless mulberries planted in that yard. It had not been trimmed in decades. The tree had literally gone wild. And those of you that know fruitless mulberries, you plant one in your front yard, you go to sleep one night, you wake up, and it's grown 20 feet. It's massive. It's unbelievable how fast the limbs on that tree, you can whack them back. And I did that. I cut those limbs right back to the stump. I thought, man, this tree's never going to survive. In fact, I hope it dies. Nope. Next morning, there's little green leaves. The next thing you know, I've got this massive tree again in my front yard, dropping these horrendous leaves about this big in huge piles all over the front yard. I hate fruitless mulberries. Imagine this conversation. God, whatever you do, don't plant that tree in my garden. You can plant any other tree. You can plant an avocado tree. I love avocados. I love oranges. You can plant an orange tree in my backyard. You can plant a persimmon tree. Oh, I love persimmons. You can plant a pear tree, or even a maple tree, or a palm tree, or an evergreen tree, even a weeping willow, Lord, because I know the weeping willow's roots go into all the sprinkler system and all that stuff. But that's okay. But just don't plant the tree of knowledge of good and evil in my backyard. Cradle me, Lord. Nourish me. say nice things to me. But God, you know how I hate pain and suffering. And God, don't make me choose. Don't make me have to make choices and make decisions in life. Make those decisions for me. Whatever you do, God, don't plant the tree of knowledge of good and evil in my life. Reality check. Last time I checked, we were still living in a world of sin and evil. Yes? The last time I checked, we still have the freedom to choose. God created us with that. And whether we like it or not, all of us have that ugly tree growing in the garden of life. That is a fact, and that is something that we cannot change. We live in a world of sin and sorrow and suffering and discouragement and pain, and the fact is that we are stuck here, and that tree is still growing in our backyard. And I don't know if you're like me, but repeatedly I find myself coming back and standing near that tree. What is it that draws us to that tree? And over and over throughout life, we hear the voice in that tree enticing us, drawing us into lives of sin. Just as our great-great-grandmother Eve was drawn to the branches of the tree of knowledge of good and evil so long ago. We are children of Adam and Eve, and we can't change that. Over and over again, we come to stand at the foot of that tree, and we hear that voice again. Is that voice Satan, or is it our own carnal, craving, sinful, lustful selves? Oh, how we love to blame Satan for everything that we do wrong. Oh, how we love to blame others for the things that we do wrong. Oh, how we love to blame others for the decisions that we have made that have caused pain and suffering in our lives. Oh, how we do not want to take responsibility for the decision that we made. T.S. Eliot once said, "Humankind cannot bear very much reality." Listen to this. We want to live, but we resist being connected to the source of life. Do you hear that? We want to live as humans. We want to live, but we often refuse or we resist being connected to the source of life. Try this one. We want to be free. This has got a real twist to it. We want to be free, but we don't want to be free to hurt ourselves or to have others free to hurt us. That's a tough one, isn't it? Or we want to love, but we don't want to give up our selfishness long enough to follow the one who is selfless and the one who loves us. And so, the old tree still grows in the backyard. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The old tree grows in our backyard so that our eyes are opened, so that we see ourselves for who we really are. The old tree grows so that we can practice the freedom of choice. You know, we don't like that, do we? We don't like that. Why does God have to give us the freedom to choose? Why doesn't He just tell us everything to do and we'll just do it? Well, the fact is, the reason that's true is because He created us with a free will, the ability to choose to follow Him or not to follow Him. The same decision, the same place, under the same tree. The old tree grows so that we can practice our freedom of choice every day. It's once said that it's beneath the tree, it's beneath that old tree that we learn the most about what lies within our hearts. And so Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." One passage or one Bible translates that passage and it simply says, "Save us from ourselves and from the devil." I like that. You see, it's so easy for us to blame others or to blame circumstances or to blame just the world we live in for the way that we live and the choices that we make, rather than taking the responsibility ourselves for the decisions. Save us from ourselves and from the devil. Keep us safe from ourselves, oh God. Keep us safe from the devil. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Paul said it, "O wretched man that I am, who can save me? Who can save me?" Who can save us from ourselves? Who can save us from the devil? The answer comes back, "Oh, it's Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that saves us from ourselves, that saves us from our wickedness, that saves us from the devil." Check this out. Too many of us spend too much time hanging around under the old tree. Some of us come and go from the tree. Some of us go away saying, "I'll never come back." And yet, we find ourselves under the old tree time and time again. Some people just camp under the tree. You ever met someone like that? They bring their tent and their sleeping bag and their food and they camp under the tree. You see, because being under the tree and being under this constant harassment by Satan is sometimes a comfortable place for people to be, because then they don't ever have to make a choice to follow God. They just live there under the tree. And they blame everybody else for the condition of their life. They blame the devil. They blame their family. They blame their community. They blame the world they're in. They blame everybody. And they refuse to take any responsibility. They just simply camp under the tree. Do you know what I want to say this morning? Get out of there. Get away from that tree. Don't pitch your tent under the tree. There are other trees to pitch your tent under. But I can tell you right now, there is really only one tree that brings total freedom and salvation and eternal life. And that is the tree that Jesus was crucified on. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. The Apostle Paul here reminds us, "All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.'" Verse 11. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteousness we live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. Verse 12. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. And here it is, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Jesus was nailed to a tree so that you and I could stand under that tree and receive total forgiveness for our sins and eternal life through Jesus Christ. I would like to suggest this morning that you get out from under that tree, that old tree. That old tree that is so despised, that old tree that has brought curse to this world, and come and hang out under a new tree. It's the cross of Jesus Christ that we need to pitch our tent under. It's in the shadow of the cross that we receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's there that we receive forgiveness of our sins. It is there that we receive freedom, true freedom. But it takes a choice. You decide. You decide which tree you're going to pitch your tent under. But as for me, in my home, we're going to pitch our tent under the cross of Jesus Christ. This morning, we are privileged to participate in one of the most beautiful, beautiful, sacred moments in the history of the Christian church. We have a communion service that reminds us of the time when Jesus led his disciples to an upper room, and in that upper room they partook of the Last Supper. And throughout history of the Christian church, this very special Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, has been repeated over and over and over and over again. It brings us back. It brings us back to the cross of Jesus Christ. It reminds us of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He died, shed his blood for the remission of our sins, so that we might have eternal life.